Good morning, friends. As each of us find a seat, it's great to gather together in the name of Jesus. We're coming together to complete our prayer week, which we've been on. There's been people praying at 8:30, and we'll gather together at 5 o'clock this afternoon down at Ballina. Today is Visioning Sunday, but it's a great way for us to start thinking of the psalm. And the last psalm in the psalm, Psalm 150, reminds us to praise God. And we're going to try and do that in song together. And it's a great psalm reminding with all you kind of have. Pick up any instruments. Just don't pick up anyone else. But, you know, try to praise the Lord with all that is in you. And we're going to try to do that together as we start our time together. So thank you, Musos. A great God who we've stood for and praised, and I encourage you now to sit as we get to talk to him in prayer. And Joe's going to lead us in prayer.
Heavenly Father, thank you for this privilege to speak to you and to enter your court. Thank you for these happy tears, Lord, as we meet with you this morning. Father, you say, your servant said, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly, as I should. Be wise in the way that you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Father, I thank you for this community and for our Pastor Trent and his family. God, I just ask you this morning that you would bind us together in love and that you would give us such a fear of you, God, such a deep understanding of how powerful and mighty and strong you are, and that we would remember who the true enemy is, Lord, and that we would not fear man, and that we would not fear the enemy, Lord, because you are more powerful than all these things, and Jesus Christ has already won. God, I ask you to just lift our voices this morning, Lord, and our hearts, and turn our eyes towards you, Lord, that everything else would become dim and quiet, and we could just spend this time with you, Jesus, hearing your voice. And I thank you for those incredible prayers that were prayed this week, and we pray in agreement with those people. And we ask you, God, to hear our prayers. And Father, we pray that we will have a heart for the outsider, that those people that visit us, the people that see us at work, the people that cut us off in traffic, Lord, that we will love them in a way that is inexplicable and is so counter to our personalities. And we thank you, Jesus, that the Holy Spirit transforms us more and more every day. And I thank you for this church family, Lord. Let us have a supernatural love for you here, God, and a supernatural love for each other and for our community. In Jesus' name we pray and we thank you, Lord, and we know that you've got this. Mm. Everything's wild. News is wild. My family's wild. The roads are wild. It's crazy out there, God, but you've got it. And I just thank you, Father, that you have it and that Jesus has got it and that you've got us. And we praise you, Lord, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
There you go. We're going to turn to God's Word. There's two passages we're going to look at this morning. So if you want to flick or if you want to find that, I've asked Wayne to read it for us. Wayne was with our men's group on Wednesday. We got together our second time for this year, and he's going to read those two scriptures for us.
Thank you, Trent. Good morning, everybody. We've got the privilege of hearing God's Word, and I often got to remember that it is such a privilege to hold God's word in our hand and to hear it and to read it. So from Matthew 28, verses 16. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him. But some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Next reading's John 1, 35 to 46. The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following him and asked, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying and spent that day with him. It was about the 10th hour. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah, that is the Christ." And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which translated is Peter. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one who Moses wrote about in the law and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." "Nazareth? Can anything good come from there?" Nathanael asked.
Okay, there are our two scriptures, friends, and today we're coming to the completion of our prayer week, as I've mentioned. With 8:30, people have been praying in the upper room. 5 o'clock, we'll be picnicking and praying, and I encourage you to pray with whoever you find when you first get there. But prayer has been building as we've been focusing in on it this start of this year. When a week and a half ago, in the upper room there was a gathering for our region. The Northern Rivers Baptist Network got together to pray. We have just spent a week in prayer from Sunday to Sunday. And now in a week and a half time, we have that association prayer when we can gather with people online in our association from New South Wales ACT. I want to start by praying, and I'm going to use, as we start and move into this visioning Sunday, I'm going to use the words of Philippians 1, 9 and 10. So please pray with me as we start. Lord God, my prayer is that our love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth and insight, so that we may be able to discern what is best, and that we may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ and his returning. And we ask and pray this in his name. Amen. Well, friends, as I mentioned, it is Visioning Sunday. And on Visioning Sunday, we're going to do something a bit different. I'm not going to work through a passage exegetically, verse by verse, as we normally do. We're going to talk topically. And there's going to be a few topics which I'll talk about. That is passion. That's the four P's, really. Purpose, thinking of pathway, and then getting a picture of 2026. So that's kind of where we're heading. Hopefully that is helpful for you. Along the way, we're going to hear from four of our ministry leaders. So look forward to that. But firstly, wanted to start with that first P, being passion. And when I talk about passion, I mean heart and I mean vision. And as I think of Philippians, as I just read there, our love abounding more and more and having a passion for what God is doing and where God is leading. Paul's prayer in Philippians 1 is exactly that, as I read that and as I prayed that for us and over us just then. And our passion or our vision at ABCH is captured in a, I don't know if you've seen the sign lately, but as you see there, it's embedded in our sign, it is sharing the love and the word of Jesus to the plateau and beyond. That's really what we want to be passionate about, sharing the love and the word of Jesus. And we want to do it not only to this plateau, but to beyond this plateau. And that is how we've kind of captured what our vision, what our passion is, captured in that statement. Now, I don't know if last Sunday you caught any of the Grammys or if you're into music, but maybe you saw this man. I didn't know this man before then. His name's Jelly Roll, if you didn't know him. He was a rap singer and he's a country singer now. He won his first Grammy. And the first Grammy that he won was for a contemporary country music album. And he did what I thought is the best Grammy speech that I've actually ever heard. It was 1 minute. And in this, I'll tell you what he did. He first got up. He firstly thought that he was going to get escorted off quickly. So he made it short and he made it in 1 minute. He started off with this, saying that, Jesus, I'm listening. I'm listening to your Lord. That was the first thing. And isn't that what we should be doing as well? Listening to what the Lord is asking us and calling us to do. He then went on, and in the middle part of it, he talked about how broken he was and that he was a horrible human. He had ended up in a prison cell. And you can see him there with a little red thing in his hand, with his Grammy in his hand. That's the little Bible. His little Bible, and he had a little radio to go with it. And he believed that God could actually change him through the word that he was reading in God's word and through the music that he had actually been in his life. And he sincerely believed that he passionately talked about that in this short little time. And then he ended by saying that Jesus is for everyone. And Jesus isn't owned by anyone. He's for everyone. And if anyone can have a relationship with him. And that's where he ended. Although that's a great way to end. Now there's controversy about him, or, you know, was it sincere and was it a make America great again kind of slogan? And people can come up with whatever they want. Really, you have to ask the man and you have to come and have a little look and do a little research yourself maybe. But the passion, it was nice to see passion. And it was nice to see a heartfelt passion as he talked about that and how he was actually broken and how God put him back together. The album's called Beautifully Broken. It would be nice for us to have some passion about what God is calling us to do, and passion sharing the love and the word to the plateau and beyond. Because we do want it to go from beyond here. In our next slide, it'll show us that we have mission partners. We got mission partners. We want to see that passion of Jesus' love and his word go beyond this plateau. Our mission partners there, as you see it, from area, and that is in the local school, the local high school, and Liam down there. We want the love and the word of Jesus to go beyond here as well, so we're connected with a group called AFCI, Ambassadors for Christ International, and they're an Australian group, so we want to see that for Australia. But we got partners in Asia, so in the Highlands and in Laos. We want to see Asia experience the love and the word of Jesus. And we want to spend Africa as well. We've got a partner that is in Kilifi in Kenya. So they're our partners. We want them to go from Austinville to Australia, Asia, Africa and beyond. Is that your passion? Is that what you're seeing here? Is that what you want to be part of what we're doing here? Well, that's our passion. Our purpose is really our mission. When I talk about our mission, and we can really pick that up in Matthew 28, where Jesus talks about making disciples while you're going along the way, along the road. Now, I don't know if you've looked at that lately. It's a pretty famous part of God's word. It's where Jesus is with his disciples at the end, and it's called the Great Commission. But sometimes it's referred to as the Great Omission in the recent church, that we've moved away from that and we've forgot about that. And we need to get back to discipleship. And it's been great to see the church worldwide, I think, as I've watched, get back to the heart of what we're called to do and what our purpose is, what our mission is, the mission that Jesus has given us. The main part of that mission, the main verb, the action command that Jesus leaves us with is make disciples. It's not go. That is just go is the ing word. That's the as you're going, make disciples. That's the main part which he calls us to do. And he talks about in that verse to all nations. That's the scope of the mission. That's how big it is. And he talks about the strategy in the mission. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Spirit, and teaching them to obey all that I've commanded you. That's a strategy, baptize and teaching. And so at ABCH, in 2016, when I started here at the end of 2016, this church had started a journey, 2016 and 2017. And it was an intentional journey with a mission partner, Ambassadors for Christ. And what we were doing at that time where we were focusing and wrestling with what is our purpose. And we wanted to refine and refocus in on that. We came up with this at the time, that we wanted to co-mission with Jesus to make and multiply his followers. And that was obviously based in Matthew 28, right? And so that has been really what I've been saying is our purpose and what we've been trying to capture as our purpose, as our mission here. Now, at the end of 2025, I want to just talk quickly about chair purpose. Have you ever heard about chair purpose? What's the purpose of a chair? It's to hold people and support them, right? We had some unpurposeful chairs because in our conference room, 25 of the chairs had metal fatigue and you'd lay back on them, they wouldn't support you. They'd go, They're not meant to be recliner chairs. They were meant to support you and hold you up. So there was a thought then, what do we do with these? Do we chuck them out, send them to the scrap? You know, do we make landfill or do we try to repair these, repurpose these? The idea came that we could repurpose these. We could repair these to actually do what they were purposed to do. And so the idea came, there were seven people who were involved in the end of actually disassembling these chairs. Disassembling these chairs. Then actually welding them to strengthen them. Then recoating the frame. Then the chair covers were actually cleaned. They're double scotch guarded. Yeah. Okay. Just in case you spill something over them. And then they had to be reassembled, right? And so they've got a new they're repurposed for the purpose that they were designed for. And in a way, I'm encouraging us to be purposed for what we have been purposed for as a church. Not just as a chair, but as a church. And so we have some here at the end here. You may have seen those couple at the back. They've been actually reupholstered as well. I forgot to mention that, a couple of them. And you may notice those chairs around here. But may they be a reminder for us of getting back to the purpose, the mission that God has called us to. As we did that, it reminded me of this book. Has anyone seen this book? Okay, a couple of people. You can borrow this book from me. I'm happy to give it to you. You can have a read of it. Over that time in 2016 and 2017, we were encouraged to actually read this book. I want to share this concept with you, which comes from this book. And does anyone want it now? Yeah, pass it around. That's good. And I'll tell you the concept and I'll catch you up quickly. If you look at that, it's talking about four chairs. We have four chairs out the front here. Just think of four chairs. And four chairs of progressively wanting people to progress through them and move through them and grow through them. So the first one is the come see chair. I call it the check it out chair, right? It's from John 1. Did you catch what happened in that encounter as John recalls it? It talks about John's disciples and Jesus. He sees Jesus. He says, look, this is the Lamb of God. And there's some of John's followers there, his disciples. And some of them actually get interested in Jesus. And Jesus says to them, come and see. And they go and spend time with him, two of them. And one of them is named Andrew. Andrew has a brother, Peter. Guess what Andrew did? He went and got his brother and said, come and see this. Come and see this person, the Messiah. Then guess what happened? There's Andrew, there's Peter, there's a friend who's called Philip. They're all from the same town, Bethsaida. I've been there. Okay, there's a fishing village near the Sea of Galilee. And Philip goes and gets Nathanael and says, Nathanael, come and see. Come and see this one. And he actually comes and sees Jesus. And so the first chair is the come and see chair. Check it out chair. This is for a seeker person. And we need to be investing in people's lives and friends and connections who don't know Jesus. And asking them and inviting them and seeing if they want to come and see who Jesus is. And so that's the first chair, right? You with me? Are you following on? We have a ministry which is Come See Ministry. And that is our Families Connect. So what I want to do now is I'm going to invite Catherine down here just to talk very briefly about the picture, and I'll paint a picture for you for Families Connect for 2026. This is Catherine, our ministry leader of the new named Families Connect. Tell us what's happening, Families Connect for 2026.
Well, good morning, everyone. It was funny, I had my phone out to take a picture of this because as Trent was saying it, I thought, well, Families Connect is definitely a come and check it out chair.
Yes.
I was going to reference it, but he already knows. He's already on top of it. So I had a little bit of a plan of what I was going to say, but I'm just going to go off what I said. So I think when we were asked to speak, you spoke about our mission and our vision as a church, and I might get these wrong, but that's why I wrote it down initially. So if I get it wrong now without my notes, I apologize. But I think it's the mission that is the working with Jesus to make disciples. Mm-hmm. And it's our vision to share the love and word of Jesus in the community. Mm. And
beyond.
And beyond. Yeah. And I definitely think, personally for me, that it is that sharing of love that makes people want to come to the Check It Out chair. And I think over the last couple of years, you know, Families Connect, you know, is now quite established in what we want to be. I think once we move from MOPS was very much about showing love to mums. And when we changed it, the vision sort of changed a little bit because MOPS was generally for Christians. And now we're much more of that Check It Out chair where we do have Christian mums from a range of different churches in the area, but we do have people, and this year we are particularly aiming to get more people and men and carers, anyone who has young children who are looking for a place of connection and joy and safety, that they can come here, that they can feel that love. But it's not pushed particularly Christian. We don't want people to feel scared. We want them to come to a church and say, oh, church isn't scary. And we, like for Easter, we always put out invitations for Easter, for special events. We hand them out to the parents and carers as a please come to our service. You know, you are welcome. And then the last thing I wasn't sure whether to say it, but it popped into my head as you were talking, and I don't know if it was God or just the neurons in my brain, but I'll go with it. There's actually a friend of mine who I met through originally Mums Connect, and we're quite close friends over the last 2 years. And she comes semi-regularly to the group. And I said to her once, why don't you come on Sunday with me? You'd have fun, you know, I'll be there with you on a church service. And she said to me, oh, I have a complicated relationship with church. She said, I grew up in the church, and her experience of being a part of a church was her parents using scripture to justify family violence and to exclude and be hateful towards other groups. And unfortunately, in this world, I think that most of the news stories or things that are covered about Christianity are often the negative, not the positive. And I think that that's a terrible shame because it is not what Jesus would want. And I hope that for Families Connect in the future, we can be that love, that example where people can come to church and say, oh, it's not what I thought. It's actually people doing this because they love Jesus, and that makes them want to love me. Yeah. And I hope that that is the invitation to come and check it out. Mm. So that's our mission for 2026.
Great. Thank you, Catherine.
Sorry for taking a long
time. Yeah, that's right. Sharing the love and showing the love and breaking down some of those misconceptions even. Thank you very much. The next chair then is we want people to move to is thinking about this Jesus says not only come see, he says come follow. And that's the second chair where we want people to progress through, where they actually sit on that chair and they make a commitment. I call it the commitment chair of following Jesus, believing in him, believing his word, believing him with all their heart. Now, we can do this through different ministries, whether it's running a Alpha course or a gospel course or any gospel course, LifeWorks, which we've done before as well. We did Alpha Youth last year. And this is where someone would even get to the point where they want to say, I'm a believer and I want to get baptized. And I want to make that commitment to Jesus to follow him. In Matthew 4, Jesus says to those fishermen, come follow me. And men's ministry is a ministry that has been revitalized for this year. And I'm going to invite Warren too to give us a little bit of a picture of men's ministry, which is for our men that are following Jesus, but others can be welcomed into that as well. But Warren's going to give you a little picture of 2026 for men's ministry.
Morning. Yes. The men in the church over the years, we really haven't had a group with that. And so we, end of the last year, I've taken that on board. And so we started Men's Connect. And the underlying aim of it is for initially to have the men within the church make connections with other men in the church. We come along to church services. After the service, we talk with a couple of the men you might know and that. But there's a lot of us here, and a lot of us don't really get to know the other men in the church. So one of the underlying is to have activities where we can come together and just get to know each other better so that we can help support each other if required in certain circumstances. And so that's one of the underlying goals that I want to see with that in the church, that as men we are able to know what's happening with us and that we are able to support each other. We're going to do that. Tomorrow morning we've got a coffee meet at the Gather, which is at the Wallingbar Christian Church, so that's from 9:30. So that's we've started that last year. We've had probably 10, 12 people come, men come along to that, which has been great. And we've got a barbecue tea at my place on Friday the 20th at night time to try and get some of the men at work to come along. So the outreach is that to have activities where us as men can come together within the church, but also activities where we're looking at having golf occasionally, organising fishing trips and that type of thing. We can invite our friends, other men we know, just to come together and meet. And you can bring them in to meet other men within the church so that we can form relationships, connections, and build on those connections to be able to witness to them as Christian men. Mm.
Thanks, Wazza. Who wants to know what's happening in chair number 3? I'm hooked up. Look at that. I've probably got these out of order, so look, I'll swap this here quickly. And this one go here. So you've got chair 1, come see. Chair 2, come follow. Chair 3, come fish, right? Yeah? Okay, and that is following on from Matthew 4 as well, where Jesus says, come follow me and I will make you fishers of people. That you can look that up in Matthew 4. This is what I call the casting chair. That's where the worker sits, who's one who's fishing in line with and doing what Jesus has called them to. This is fishing for people. And as we've had a time to think about that with our young people and offering that gift of forgiveness and seeing which people take that up. So this is a person who is following Jesus, but now he's working for Jesus, and it's the kind of worker chair. And hopefully you're catching each chair and getting a picture and understanding of that. Now, freedom prayer is something that is connecting our for believers and for seekers as well. But Wendy's going to share a little bit about Freedom Prayer and vision for 2026.
Well, just like Catherine, I've got notes, and unlike Catherine, I'm keeping my notes. Because I often find Freedom Prayer difficult to explain, so I had to write it down. Some of you may have seen in the bulletin and the ministry leaders, you know, this Freedom Prayer, not knowing anything about it. So I'm here to tell you what it is. So it's actually a ministry of inner healing. And Jesus told us in Luke that the verses in Isaiah 61 were about him, where Isaiah says, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from the darkness for the prisoners." So Jesus sends us into the world with his power and authority. And part of that authority is to bind up the brokenhearted and release captives. Now, the Hebrew word for brokenhearted means to break down or to crush or break into pieces. And brokenheartedness is any separation between and within the heart, the soul, the mind and spirit of a person. It's the result of pain and trauma, some of which is, much of which is felt when we're young, or happened when we're young, some of which we don't even remember, but it still affects us. Some which is not so traumatic, but it still happened and it affects us. So Freedom Prayer deals with some of those issues. We wait on God to see what he shows us, what he wants to say to us, and then we go with that. It may not even be sometimes what the person came for, but it is what God wants to deal with. It may be something like breaking generational sin. It may be dealing with unforgiveness. It may just be allowing the person to sit and see Jesus breaking whatever he wants to break. So whatever God shows us or speaks to us, we work with God and with the person who comes for prayer. It's a very gentle ministry, because God is a gentle God, and he very gently cleans and washes areas that need his touch. And just to let you know, tomorrow afternoon the team is meeting for the first time for some time for this year. If anyone is interested in coming along, do so. It's not a healing session, it's not a teaching time, but you may get an idea of what in healing is all about. And if there are enough people interested, at some stage we can do a training session later in the year.
Thank you, Wendy. I'll put that on the fourth one. Our fourth chair is this, our final chair in the disciple process from that book from Idea of Dan Spader is what I call Come Bear Fruit. In the back part of John 15, you can check that out sometime. Jesus is at the Lord's Supper with his followers, and he says to them, go and bear fruit, which is talking about making and multiplying disciples that can make and multiply other disciples. And Jesus says this of his followers. This is the fourth chair. This is what I call the compounding chair as a disciple maker. Now in 1850, anyone alive then? No, okay, yes. There was a man named Charles Adam, and Charles Adam talked about making disciples in two parts. And he talked about it as a plane with two fixed wings. One wing being bringing people to Christ, and the other wing growing people in Christ. Okay, bringing people to Christ, growing people in Christ. So bringing people to Christ is like the evangelism arm of a follower of Jesus. And that's kind of talking about chairs one and two. And the discipleship is about being, or growing people, is about chairs three and chairs four. But thinking of multiplication and this idea of multiplication, how many people here on average on Sunday? What's your guess? If you need to know, you ask Merlene, and she'll tell you there's about 100 people, okay? It's about an average of 100 people, kids, people of all different ages. And if we were to have a goal of growing by 10%, how many people would be by the end of the year? 10, so it'd be 110. Good, you're onto it. That would be like and most churches that are healthy are growing by 10% at least. That sounds pretty good. You know, if you did do that and grew by 10% each year, in 7 years, or about 7 years, you'd be about 200 people, right? So it'd take about 7 years to double to get to 200 people. That's growth of 10%. If there was 100 people here, which there are, and we're thinking about reproducing 100 per year, that sounds like a lot, doesn't it? But as you do the figures of that, so after a year, there'd be 200 people. After another year, there'd be an extra 100 people. To add to the 200 would be 300 people, 400, 500, and that would go up to, after 7 years, there'd be 800 people, right? So in 7 years, there'd be 800 people. What if 100% of the people were producing 100% of people who could make disciples? This is the compounding effect. So if 100% were making 100, the next year there'd be from 100 to 200. The year after that, the 200 would go to 400. The year after that, 400 would go to 800. So in 3 years, there'd be 800 people. Imagine that. Now, in some places, the churches are growing that fast, but this is the power of multiplication. And Jesus calls us to be multiplying people. Now, chair number four is about that multiplication. Just to finish off in this section of looking at our purpose and our mission, I'm going to ask Graham, who is our prayer coordinator, just to give us a little picture of what prayer is looking like in 2026. Come on forward, Mr. Graham Hellier, leading and coordinating our prayer ministry. It'd be great for you to share for us just to finish off our time.
Wow. I like the others. They had notes. I got the text yesterday afternoon and I'm thinking, what does he want me to share this morning? what am I going to put in notes? But I'm glad, Trent, you introduced us to a special singer called Jelly Roll this morning. And I guess to start with, one of his special songs, I guess, that's impacted my life, just says, God met me in my mess. So it's got real lyrics in it. And one of the special lines is, He didn't wait for me to change. He met me in my mess. Wow. Mm. So we meet with men here on Wednesday mornings. We have a time of prayer. We have a time of sharing with each other. Last Sunday, we saw in the prayer encouragement, we were encouraged to be giving thanks, and particularly giving thanks to the positions that God has placed us in, whether it be a position within the church or whether it be a street address, to be honest. Who are the neighbours that we can connect with? It may be the position that God has placed us in our work life. Who are the people at our workplace that we have an influence with? It can be all sorts of things. It can be the role in our sporting club, in our service club, or whatever. It's the people out there that God wants us to share His love with. Mm. Wow. Mm.
Thank you, Graham.
Is there anything else you want to say?
We're going to talk two more P's. We'll be quicker on covering through these, but follow along with me if you can. We've talked about our passion, talked about our purpose, and now thinking about pathway, and that is a strategy. What is the strategy of how we go about making disciple, who can make disciples. And one of the things we came up with was this pathway, thinking about connecting people to Jesus, winning people to Jesus, building people and training people in their service of Jesus, and then sending people in service of Jesus. And so this is what we call the mission, this is what we call the discipleship pathway. The discipleship pathway, you may have seen it like this. And maybe it's similar to the four chairs, but the two of those stations put together, if you think of these five stations instead of four chairs, of connecting people, of winning people, of building and training, if that's a station with two platforms there, and then of sending people on. So as we've been reminded, Families Connect is a connect ministry, connecting to non-Christian people. Win is things like we did Youth Alpha, Alpha Youth last year, which is particularly wanting to win youth for Christ, and we ran that last year. Build is like what happens in our life groups for Christian people. Train is to train us up in different areas, but also things like Safe Church. And then send us on, whether that's back into our street, as Graham's mentioned, our sporting club, whether that's overseas to Kilifi in Kenya, whether that's to Lao, where we went to in 2019 with a small team, or whether that's like Jazz, who we sent on to do ministry up with uni students up the Gold Coast. That's our discipleship pathway, and that's the strategy of which we use. It's a helpful thing to see which ministries fit under which kind of part and what focus we are putting on and which part of that strategy we might need to focus in on or what we might be neglecting. So there is the pathway. But lastly, I want us just to finish with a picture and getting a picture, and thankful to our ministry leaders who have shared with us this morning of giving us a bit of a picture of the ministries that they're involved in and their hopes and their dreams for 2026. But let me helpfully build on that picture. I'm just going to tell you what's going to happen in the Sundays over February and March. See if you can capture and come along with me. Today is Visioning Sunday. Next Sunday, we're going to have Dedication Sunday, parents and the church dedicating their kids to grow up and know and love Jesus. The Sunday after that, we'll have... what are we moving to? Stewardship Sunday after that. Thinking about our resources and what God has granted and given to us and how we can use them. So that will be Stewardship Sunday the week after that. The week after that, as we head into March, we'll start in a 2 Peter. We'll be looking at 2 Peter series. We'll have Peter here with us, the singer, and we'll be starting 2 Peter as we move in a 2 Peter series. Then when we hit Easter, we're going to be in Matthew. And that's going to be our gospel that we're going to focus in for the year. So we'll follow on in Matthew after Easter. Speaking of Easter, I really want to encourage us to build and make that a bigger celebration in our life and in the life of our church. And so we can do that by having things like marking occasions moving into Easter. There's a thing called Pancake Day. Does anyone know about Pancake Day? Leading into just before Lent, you can have Pancake Day. And Pancake Tuesday would happen on the 17th of Feb. That's not that far away, right? The 18th of Feb would be the start of Lent, which would be Ash Wednesday, the Wednesday that follows that. And then that period of time will lead you into Easter, into Holy Week, the Monday, and going through to Good Friday, which will be on the 3rd of April, and then Resurrection Sunday, which we'll celebrate 9:30 here, Resurrection Sunday on the 5th. That's a little bit of what's happening in the next few months, but we'll be hosting a few things throughout the year as well. We're going to be hosting a thing called Connect 2026, which is an association initiative. We'll be a host site here. People from around the region will come to us who are involved in SRE teaching, scripture teaching in schools, who will be involved in youth ministry or kids ministry, or they want to be involved in those ministries. We have a training night on a Friday night, the Friday before Good Friday. We're having here, that's the 27th of March. And we're going to have Louise Bartlett will be here with us. We'll be hosting it, but she is actually the team leader of Kids and Families Ministry with our association. She's actually the wife of our director too, Steve Bartlett. So it'll be great to have her here with us, and she'll be sharing and being involved in that night. We'll be hosting The Gathering, which is The Gathering, and we'll be a host site here in the Northern Rivers. for the whole gathering, which will happen through ACT and New South Wales, and that will be done online, will be a live site here that will be happening. There will be a prophecy seminar. There will be women's ministry. Speak to more about Maggie about that. Leadership, I met this week. I will be thinking about exposure and explore, people who can invite in to journey with us for 3 or 4 months. And so we are looking and praying for people that can do that with us as a leadership team, to understand what we do and get exposure to that and experience in that, and to even see if God is calling you into that. We're talking about internships, and if that's a possibility here, or our pastoral days and how they're spent and how we use our pastoral days with people ministering. We're also talking about and locked in a time to have a leadership retreat where we step out of this place for the day, and we think about what God is calling us to do and our plans and what we are preparing for the second half of the year. That'll be happening in June for us. Also this year, we turned 70. I mentioned that last week, right? We turned 70. 70 years ago, in 1956, there was a group of people that met in a house in Daly Street in Austinville. That year, at the end of that year, they ended up purchasing a bit of land in the main street. And that's our history of the Baptist Church, 70 years ago this year. So we thought in the middle of the year, it'd be good to celebrate that. And it'd be good to have a night where we reflect and think about what God has done in those 70 years. That's coming up this year as well. Then, if you get through, we'll be getting through to September, and we'll be doing this. Hopefully your face will be in the photo this year, and you'll be doing a crazy face like there is there as 100 of us moved away to get away to the Tyalgum Ridge Retreat, and that's in September. Lock it in if you haven't already. We're also planning and trying to get to Africa this year, to Kilifi, to support our partners, and they've identified 3 areas, and this is 4 years ago they identified that we can partner with them. And so hopefully, God willing, we'll get there, if not December, maybe in January 2027. Also to mention, in 2027, this site will be 40 years old, and it'll be a chance for us to celebrate again about what God's doing, and maybe even inviting those who have been involved in this place. Those that have moved on from this place, those that experienced this and maybe didn't experience Christ, that we can probably try to connect with and see where they are on their spiritual journey. That's a little bit of a picture of where we're moving to, 2026. Hopefully you've caught it. There'll be things happening in this building space as well. There's happening in the kitchen. There's continuing to do some renovations in there. We're looking at solar batteries to cover our night usage. And as I said, 40 years old on this site. So hopefully that has given you a little bit of those 4 P's. What our passion here is at ABC here, H, what our purpose is, the pathway which we're moving along, and giving you a picture. Now, I'm just going to finish at that. I'm going to pray over us now, and I'm going to give you a time to reflect just for a couple of minutes to see which you resonated with and what God was resonating in your heart with, as I've just shared and as others have shared. Let me pray for us. Lord God, we want to look to you and thank you for your passion which is most clearly shown to us in the cross and you moving towards the cross, the passion of your cross, Lord God. We thank you for that, Lord Jesus. We pray that that love that you have born into our heart that we will want to share with others, Lord God. So I pray that you will stir us in that we may share the love of you, Lord Jesus, and your word, not only to this plateau, but beyond this plateau. Lord Jesus, we want to co-mission with you in your purpose to make and multiply your followers. And so, Lord God, stir us again in how we can do that. Thank you for that pathway, and thank you for studying your life, and we can see that you had a pathway of connecting with people, of winning them to yourself, Lord God, of building them and training them, and then of sending them on to other regions and areas. And Lord God, I'd pray that you'll give us a bigger picture for what you are doing in this place and in this space in 2026. And we ask and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, before we sing to finish off, I just got a little screen for you. I just want you to reflect for a moment. Just before we sing our last song, I believe, just share with people around you, what is God placing upon your heart? Maybe you were thinking about one of those particular P's. Maybe you have questions about that. Maybe you, part of the picture, you'd like to look into more or think about more. So just take a moment to do that with someone around you. Share just for a minute or two before we sing. What is it that God has been stirring in your heart? What is it you want to or have more questions about? Talk to someone around you. Go for it. Have a share in a family reflection.